Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Maybe Meant to Be by K.L. Walther. Narrated by Alexa Elmy and Graham Halstead. Chapter 1. Sage. There were cigarettes wedged in the cracks of my windowsill, and my mom noticed right away. "Those aren't mine," I blurted when she held up two of them, tips browned and singed. This was a given, because I'd lived in this room for all of 10 minutes. My sheets weren't even on the bed yet. She frowned and shook her head. "Use an ashtray next time."
"Maybe it's in here,"
my dad joked, pulling out one of my desk drawers. I was surprised the cleaning crew hadn't caught the butts. My mom had opened the window because the smell of Clorox was so strong.
"Who lived here last year?" she asked.
"Skylar Cole," I said, and couldn't help but laugh as she dug out another stub. I almost told her to stop, since I kind of wanted to show the girls later. Up on the third floor, my friend Reese had already texted us that her room's last occupant left her prom dress hanging in the closet. "Not a night to remember," I'd written back.
"Skylar Cole," my mom mused. "Isn't she..."
"Yeah, Charlie's ex," she nodded.
"Will he be coming by to say hello later? And help, since we all know how much you love unpacking?"
"We wish," I smiled. "He's still in rehearsal." Charlie had gotten a week-long head start here at Bexley, moving into school early for the musical's preseason. This year's show was Into the Woods, and he was playing none other than Prince Charming. My mom sighed.
"What about Nikki?"
I shook my head. "Soccer."
"Andrea,"
my dad said, chuckling.
"We don't need the extra labor. This is Sage's senior year. We've got this."
I smiled. My parents were divorced, but I loved that they always moved me in together.
"Oh, that's a relief."
I faked a yawn.
"Because I'm a little woozy from this smell."
I flopped down on my mattress and shut my eyes. "Please wake me when the people from Pottery Barn Teen arrive for the photo shoot." I went to boarding school, but I didn't grow up thinking I'd go to boarding school. When I was in third grade, I'd fantasized about someday wearing blue and white at Darien High School's football games, and maybe being voted homecoming queen. But all that had gone out the window in eighth grade. Holding court from the back of the bus, Charlie told me he couldn't come over and binge on ice cream and Netflix because he needed to go home and work on his Bexley application.
"Mom wants Nick and me to start them today," he'd explained. "She doesn't want us to get behind."
"Wait, Bexley?" I'd said. "The Bexley school? Like where Kitsy went? You guys are going to go?"
"Well, yeah," Charlie shrugged. "We all go. My grandfather, my dad, Kitsy. Of course Nikki and I are going to go."
So naturally, I'd started my own application as soon as I'd gotten home and finished an episode of Gossip Girl and a bowl of Ben and Jerry's half-baked. If Charlie was going to Bexley, then I was too. I wasn't going to let us be separated. I smiled as I tacked a picture of us up over my bed. One of me wearing Charlie's spare hockey jersey with black paint under my eyes, and standing on his skates as he danced us around outside the locker room. It went next to a fifth grade snapshot, taken after our school's production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We both held huge flower bouquets. My parents were gone, my mom en route back to Connecticut and my dad to New York. And the girls and I were about to head over to the Pearson Arts Center for move-in day's school meeting.
"Okay, enough pictures," Reese said and waved her phone around. "Jenny sent the scouting report."
"Oh, yes,"
Nina hopped up from my desk chair.
"Anyone British?"
I laughed. "You're not still hung up on Jamie, are you?" Nina blushed.
"Listen, he was really nice."
But he had that posh girlfriend back home, Miss Davies, Reese reminded her, nodding her head toward my door. Nina and I followed her out of the room, down the hall and stairs. And once outside, we were swept up in the sea of students. Bexley had rolled out the welcome wagon. The auditorium had our black and blue school flags streaming down from the windows. And odds were, Headmaster Griswold, with his retro handlebar mustache, was greeting people as they passed through the front doors. It was the same way every year. And though I'd been so excited on the drive here, I suddenly felt something in me deflate. Like I was secretly hoping that this time would be different. But all signs pointed to same old, same old. Okay, Jenny's list, I prompted as we walked, arms linked. Jenny Chu was our fourth musketeer, and as student council president, she'd scored a lineup of this year's postgraduate guys. They were the new kids in the senior class, and most of them came to Bexley for sports after graduating from their own high schools. They were known to everyone as the PGs. Nina's beloved Jamie had been a soccer PG last year. Reese scanned her phone. No Brits, she concluded. But there's two football guys, both from Texas. A Laxbro from Long Island. She glanced up and smirked at me. Sage, you're so lucky. Why? I asked. Is Sean Mendez here this year? My friend shook her head. No. But someone named Luke Morrissey is, and you'll get to meet him very soon. Luke Morrissey, I thought. Why does that ring a bell? Oh my God, Nina said. You're going to sit next to each other at the meeting. Morgan and Morrissey. Alphabetical order. I recognize his name for some reason, I said. What's he here for? Cross country. Reese answered. He's from someplace in Michigan called Grosse Pointe. It's right outside Detroit, Nina informed us after consulting Google Maps on her phone. She looked at me. I shrugged. Grosse Pointe sounds kind of familiar. But why? Find his Insta, Reese said. That was her answer to everything. Instagram. I laughed. Okay, no. I don't want to know that his family has a golden doodle named Waffle before we actually meet. She raised an eyebrow. Waffle? Yeah, how cute would that be? So cute. Nina started. But then the mob of students surged forward, so we surged with it, getting torn apart by the time we made it into the PAX lobby. 1,000 voices bounced off the white walls as I elbowed my way through a horde of junior boys in striped polo shirts. Suddenly excited to find my new auditorium seat. Because after nearly getting tripped up in the balloons out front, I'd figured out who Luke Morrissey was. A conversation in May with Charlie had started. My Aunt Caroline called last night and said the kid who babysits my cousins is coming to Bexley next year. The one Tater Tot is in love with. You're the Carmichael twins' cousin's babysitter, I exclaimed the second I turned into my row. And at that, a head turned. An adorable head. But an adorable head that also looked like I'd just slapped him in the face. I saw his cheeks heat, and when I dropped into my seat next to him, he reached up and ran a hand through his jet black hair. The kind of hair you want to run your hands through, I'd tell the girls later. His eyes darted around behind tortoiseshell glasses. Pardon? He asked. You're the Carmichael twins' cousin's babysitter, I repeated. Or Luke. The guy nodded. I go by Luke, too. Less of a mouthful. I smiled and held out my hand. I'm Sage. We shook. Nice to meet you, Luke said. And then he was quiet. Not awkward quiet, but definitely shy quiet. That didn't faze me. So, why are you at Bexley? I asked, even though I already knew he ran cross country.
I also wanted to pinch myself at how enthusiastic I sounded. But at least Charlie isn't here.
You and Charlie freak people out, Nick once told me. You guys are like sunshine on steroids.
Oh, Luke said.
My indecision.
I blinked.
What?
Luke smirked, and I felt a flutter in my chest.
My indecision.
My eyebrows knitted together. You aren't here for cross country?
No.
He shook his head.
I mean, yes, I do run cross country. But that's not why I'm here. I graduated from my high school last year, but with zero idea what I wanted to do for college.
He hesitated.
This, also might sound stupid, but I didn't feel ready for it.
Well, no offense, I said with a laugh. But you certainly don't look ready for it.
Luke smiled and rolled his eyes.
Yes, I'm aware I look 14. My sister Becca, who is 14, looks older than I do.
Did you apply elsewhere, or just here?
No, also Lawrenceville, Taft, and Kent. But this was my first choice.
I nodded. So you've met Charlie and Nick? Another head shake.
Not yet. You know them well?
You could say that, I grinned.
We took baths together back in the day.
What are they like?
Oh, well, Charlie's the best, I said. But then the pack's lights dimmed, and the giant projection screen lowered in front of the stage's blue velvet curtain. I smiled and got comfortable in my seat. This was the reason for the stampede inside. It was tradition for the student council to MC school meetings, and they always made an entrance for the very first one.
Get ready, I whispered to Luke. You're going to love this.
This was a 10-minute video of Bexley meets The Office, and I wanted to nominate it for an Emmy. The skit was a mock student council meeting, with each member playing up their title. President Jenny was banging the oval-shaped Harkness table in frustration over how Bexley was a good school, but this year, it was their job to make it a great one.
I appreciate Jenny's passion,
VP Samir Khan said in a confessional.
But in order to make this a great school, she needs to support my ideas for a stronger peer tutoring system, instead of just focusing on the athletic and theater departments.
Then the camera panned to a shot of Jenny in the library, with the redheaded Carmichael twins waiting on her hand and foot.
You're really tense, Madam President,
Nick, in his hockey jersey, told Jenny as he massaged her shoulders.
Oh, Nick, I know. Feel free to dig in harder,
she sighed happily, as Charlie held up a chocolate from the enormous box on his lap. He was decked out in his Prince Charming costume and totally grinning.
That boy could set off fireworks with his smile, my mom always said.
And this one, dearest Jen, has a raspberry cream filling.
He took a slow, seductive bite of the candy and licked his lips before popping the rest into Jenny's mouth.
That's them, I whispered to Luke.
Luke nodded, but didn't say anything. He just watched, and then listened as Jenny came on stage and welcomed everyone to the new school year, before introducing the rest of her cabinet.
And last but not least, this is your arts representative, Charlie Carmichael, she told us. His favorite color is blue, he loves Cool Ranch Doritos, and before you ask, no, he is not a paid model for Vineyard Vines.
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Luke lean forward in his seat. Come have dinner with me, I said after the lights went up. I want you to meet my friends, Charlie especially, but he, Nick, and Jenny wouldn't be around. Student council always ate with Headmaster Griswold and the deans across the street in town the first night.
On Bexley's dime, he'd texted me. I'm getting a steak.
Okay, sure.
Luke agreed, following me out of our row.
That'd be great.
So there are two different dining halls, I explained once we made it outside. Layton is the bigger one, and it's for all the underclassmen. And Addison is the smaller one. That's where we're going now. It's seniors only.
Right, Luke nodded. That's the building next to my dorm. Where do you live?
Down that way, I said, gesturing behind us. Simmons, the senior girls' dorm. Luke whistled.
Seems like a hike.
It is, but I have a bike. My sweet mountain bike, recently demoted from hilly woodland trails to Bexley's cobblestone streets. Stinger, Nick had named it 2 summers ago, in homage to the bike's screaming black and yellow paint job. Eva Alpert was holding the door open for us when we got to Addison.
Hi, Sage.
Hey, Eva. I smiled and introduced Luke. This is Luke. He's a PG. And we basically watched Eva melt right there in the doorway.
Oh, great. Awesome to meet you, she said, twirling a curl around her finger. You're gonna love it here.
I caught her eyes travel from Luke's head to his toes. Stop it, I wanted to say, already feeling territorial. I took Luke's arm and led him inside.
I feel slightly violated, he whispered once we stood in the long line for food.
It snaked across the black and white tile floor. I spotted Reese's sleek dark braids several heads in front of us. She could command a room.
That's Eva Alpert for you, I whispered back.
She's nice, but is always like that with guys, I laughed. And you're totally her type. I thought of Jeremy Tanaka, Nick's freshman year roommate. Eva dated him for a while last year, and he wasn't nearly as good-looking as Luke. But they weren't dissimilar, both having the artsy, intellectual, cute vibe going for them.
Oh, that's too bad,
Luke replied, tucking his hands in his pockets. I raised an eyebrow. She's not your type, I'm guessing? Luke smirked and shook his head.
Not exactly, no.
Good, because she once called Charlie an overrated actor. I glanced around to make sure no one was eavesdropping. But I think that's really because she's jealous of Greer Mortimer.
Why would she be jealous of Greer Mortimer?
Because Greer's gotten to make out with Charlie for 3 musicals in a row. They're always a couple, and Eva's always a villain. She's the witch this year.
Charlie's Eva's type too?
I smiled. Charlie is everyone's type. Charlie finally made his way up Simmons' front pathway a little before 9 p.m. He was wearing a light blue checked button-down, sleeves rolled up to the elbows, a pair of navy chinos, and his usual Sperry's with the black and green ribbon belt I'd given him last Christmas.
The prince!
Reese waved him over to the patio, and 5 seconds later he was in the hammock with me. I hugged him tight, smelling his familiar Irish spring soap as he slid an arm around me. It felt like we hadn't seen each other in eons, because the Carmichaels spent the whole summer on Martha's Vineyard. I'd gone out to visit for a couple of weeks in July, but still.
This is only a drive-by, Charlie said. I have to get back to the house soon. The festivities are almost afoot.
We laughed. Charlie was a prefect in one of the underclassmen dorms, Daggett House, and had to lead a bunch of bonding activities tonight.
We've cranked the heat in the common room so we can do hot yoga,
he joked via text earlier.
Well, you just missed Luke,
Reese said, as I ran a hand through Charlie's red gold hair.
Luke?
Charlie asked, leaning forward a little.
Luke Morrissey, Nina said. The PG who lives down the street from your cousins.
We'd gotten all the details over spaghetti.
Yeah, I've known the Hoppers forever, Luke told us. Adelaide, Tate, and Banks, they're tons of fun.
We've been hanging out with him all day, Reese added. He left like 10 minutes ago, she shrugged. Mandatory house meeting.
But you have to meet him, Charlie, I said. He's the coolest. I looked at the girls requesting backup.
Right?
I knew they would agree with me. We'd all fallen in love at dinner.
Alphabetical order for the win,
Nina had whispered as Luke explained why he was doing a PG year.
I'm calling it my victory lap of high school.
Definitely, Jenny agreed. So nice and interesting, and well-traveled. He just got back from Tokyo. His mom is Japanese, so he's been there a few times.
He also has this killer sense of humor, I said. Bone-dry sarcasm.
Sounds like he'll have you fighting over him in no time.
Charlie deadpanned, and then stood.
I better jet. Time for karaoke with the guys.
You said you were baking cookies, Nina replied. I thought it was mani-pedis, Reese said.
I stood too. And I was told hot yoga. Charlie winked.
Yeah, a major agenda.
See you tomorrow, the girls chorused as he took my hand.
I'd walk him halfway home to catch up. We said hey to a few other seniors sitting in the front lawn's Adirondack chairs, and they started whispering after Charlie gave them a friendly smile. But it slipped away once we reached the chapel, and I felt him lean against me. Tired? I asked. He sighed.
Waiting for my second wind.
I wrapped my arms around his waist. You happy to be back, though? Oddly, he dodged the question.
You guys seem seriously obsessed with this new guy, he said instead. Should I be worried?
Charlie, I met him. I paused so I could check my non-existent watch. A little over 4 hours ago. I'm not seriously obsessed. I smiled. Just obsessed.
Well, at least you're honest.
I laughed.
I can't wait for you to meet him.
So you've said.
Shut up. He's going to be your new best friend.
I don't need a new best friend, Charlie said. I've got you.
He held up his phone to show me at least a dozen missed texts.
Plus all these people.
I punched him in the arm. You're so full of it. He smiled.
I should go.
Yeah, okay, I sighed. Love you.
I'm aware,
he chirped, already starting to walk away. I rolled my eyes and started to turn back toward Simmons. But Charlie's voice stopped me, shouting out into the night.
And I love you, Seiji baby!
I laughed and shook my head. Yes, I told myself, pretending I didn't just see his shoulders slump. He's happy to be back.
Chapter 2. Charlie. My room smelled like death when I woke up. My phone screamed at 6 a.m., time to meet Sage for our morning run. I climbed out of bed and threw on a t-shirt and shorts before lacing up my sneakers. So, how'd it go? Sage asked as we headed toward the Kingdom of Far, Far Away, the nickname for the farthest athletic fields from main campus, inspired by the greatest sequel ever made, Shrek 2. Did you puke? Yes, I told her. All my sins have officially been purged. Last night, after the standard name-year hometown icebreaker, the main event in Daggett had been a sickeningly professional chicken nugget-eating contest. I'd made it to the semis, but this sophomore named Diraj Bagheria ended up winning. He'd eaten 60 without breaking a sweat. Sage cracked up after I told her the full story. I can't believe it. She shook her head. I thought Patty would win for sure. Well, I replied, had he been going at full speed, he probably would have. Patty Clark was another DAG prefect and never sat down at dinner without a minimum of 3 plates. Sage turned and smirked at me, her hazel eyes shining. I think Patty needs a girlfriend. Why? You interested? I asked, half wanting to add, because he is. And like I knew she would, Sage just laughed, something she always did when we talked about stuff like this. Sometimes I baited her. If you were the Bexley Bachelorette, which 4 guys would make it to hometowns? But today, I didn't push things. Instead, I followed suit when she picked up her pace, and then we ran in silence for a stretch, whipping by pine trees. "Are we still on for Pandora's today?" I asked once we'd slowed back down, turning off the fields and onto Ludlow Lane. Every year, on the first day of classes, a totally grueling half-day, Sage and I went to Pandora's Cafe across from campus for lunch. "Of course," Sage nodded, and as I began to mentally page through the Bible-length menu, I heard her add, "I was also thinking of inviting Luke, if that's okay with you." My immediate response was to pretend I'd never heard the name. "Luke who?" I asked, aloof. But I had to fight a laugh when Sage responded by reaching over and shoving me. Mom cried when she and Dad had dropped Nick and me off last week for preseason. The two of us were in different dorms, so we'd gone our separate ways with one parent to execute Operation Move-In before all meeting in the meadow to say goodbye. "I just can't believe it," she whispered, managing to wrap both Nick and me in a single hug. "I can't believe my twins are seniors." Dad, on the other hand, couldn't stop smiling. "This is it," he'd told us. "I remember being where you are." He clapped me on the back. "Make it count." To be perfectly melodramatic, the Bexley School was in my blood. It had been up and running since 1816, and from then on, the boarding school had dealt with generations of Carmichaels wreaking havoc across its campus. Great-granddad hid his homemade moonshine under a floorboard in Mortimer House during Prohibition, while granddad was responsible for the Great Daggett House Fire of 1956, and dad nearly slept through graduation in the 80s. The latest diploma belonged to my sister, Kitsy. Nick and I always knew we would apply to Bexley and then go to Bexley. It was how things were done in our family. So here we were, back for round four, and as cliched as it sounds, it was never hard to separate the new students from the returning students on the first day. Freshmen were dressed like their moms picked out their outfits, afraid of breaking dress code, and turtled with their backpacks while they ran across campus as if they were on some mad Easter egg hunt. "No, sweetie, all math classes are in the Carmichael Science Center," I overheard Mrs. Levison telling one girl, and I laughed to myself. Granddad thought of the CSC as his penance for burning down half of Daggett. I spent my free period in Knowles' basement, Bexley's student center. It was an open floor plan, all glass and warm woods, and the only closed-off spaces were the newspaper and yearbook offices at one end and the tuck shop at the other. I'd met up there with Dove earlier this morning during teacher consultation for a snack, and unsurprisingly, the place had been packed, its line twisting and turning. I draped an arm around her and pretended to fall asleep while we waited to pay. She giggled and buried her face in my shoulder, and I'd noticed her perfume smelled like sugar cookies and that it didn't take much to make her laugh. But now class was in session, so the basement had pretty much emptied out. I set up camp on one of the black couches near Tuck's end zone, facing a floor-to-ceiling window in the corner. My usual setup. Sometimes I studied, sometimes I watched Netflix, and sometimes I took naps. Today was one of the nap days. I collapsed onto the couch and stretched out on my back, wishing I hadn't forgotten my headphones in my room. There was no choice but to be carried away by the click-clack of people's laptop keyboards. A voice woke me up 10, possibly 45 minutes later. Some kid was talking nearby, and even though I couldn't see him, the back of my couch put me in stealth mode. I put it together that he was on the phone. I wasn't an eavesdropper, but this kid had a nice voice, so I lay there listening. "Yeah, I guess I slept okay," he said. "It was just different. You can hear everything, people walking up and down the hall, and the toilets flushing.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?